Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
And it starts. Here it goes. Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
I'm Brian Shipper.
I'm Mike Dre.
If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, if you would like to just have a conversation with us about your experiences on the road, go ahead and contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the Hammer Lane Legends webpage, hit the contact section, get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. Shipper, tell them about the voicemail line and do it with enthusiasm. Yeah, I know.
Absolutely. Voicemail line, short thought. Story of anything crazy, wild, insane, what happened, you caused, you seen. Leave a voicemail, 515-585-MERK, 515-585-6375. Short story, 5-10 minutes at the most. Follow the simple prompts. You get to hear Tony's voice. You have the gift of gab, and you got a story longer than that, get a hold of the producers or Brian.
Just send us an email.
Send us an email,
whatever. hllpodcast@protonmail.com.
No, that's not what I had, but whatever.
It'll work.
Anyway, do it.
There you go.
Oh, and speaking of which, we did have voicemails,
don't we?
We have one.
We do have one, yep. Okay. And we're gonna take a listen to that.
Keep us fueled, keep us caffeinated. buymeacoffee.com/Hammer Lane's virtual tip jar. If you like what we're doing here, feel free to contribute. Follow the simple prompts. If not, thanks for looking.
Amen. Thanks for looking.
Yes.
Today we're talking to Jason. Jason is, how are you doing, Jason? Let's start with that. How are you
doing? I am doing wonderful today.
That's fantastic. It's, you know what? It's actually good to meet you face to face. You know, virtually.
He looks like the guy from the dock. The guy that loads does he still load the Ross at work?
Oh, Anthony.
Yeah, that's
a little
him.
Bit.
Kind of looks like him. It's his brother.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. That's it. I'm done.
It doesn't make sense. Nobody can see what Anthony actually looks like.
Oh, they will if they hear the show.
If they watch the show, I guess.
Otherwise, just imagine.
Anyway, Jason, tell us a little bit about yourself. Jason is our new producer. I'll start with that. And that way it leads us in. So everybody knows why we're talking to Jason and what's going on. And he's got the Merkel Media hat on.
I said that.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that. I apologize. I was not paying attention to you.
Why would you?
Jason, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. My name is Jason York. And I also have a podcast called AFK Discussions. And actually, our podcast is going through a little change right now. So if you listen to our podcast on this coming up Monday, we will be announcing all that. But anyways, so I am a graphic designer by trade. I am a podcaster. I am a photographer. I do a little bit of everything. Uh-huh. So when Tony moved to Tennessee, I used to listen to his show, but when he moved down here, I started doing some graphics for him, doing some design, and we became friends, and we started going to church together. Uh-huh. And so we just kind of hit it off. And I've actually, you mentioned the Merkel Media hat. I've had this hat forever before I was actually working with Merkel Media, just because I've done graphics.
Really 5 months ago. Just saying.
It's always a pleasure to have Shipper on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Anyway. Sorry. Proceed.
As you were saying.
That's pretty much it. I mean, you know, I'm a kind of a jack of all trades. Anything computer wise, graphical, videography, anything, I do everything. So
okay. Did you go to school for this? Is this like, was this a college?
Did you, Yeah. Very cool. I went to school for graphic design. And actually, you know, we were talking before we came on the air about how, you know, I would fit into the trucking industry. And I work for one of the largest pest control companies.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say the name just because I didn't, you know, I don't know how. Anyways, but and I do graphics for some of our trailers, our I guess what would you call them? I said it earlier and now I lost my train of thought. The liquid trailers, the
tanker
trailers, dude. Yes.
Yeah.
My mind, I'm very ADD and sometimes my mind just goes blank.
That's all
and
right.
I cannot think. But yeah, so I do graphics and stuff for the size of those. So an interesting thing that happened. They're like, hey, we had a insurance claim. Can you come down and take a picture of this trailer with dents and stuff in it? So I had to do that. So yeah, I'm kind of adjacent to the trucking industry. So
wow. That's kind of neat. That is, you know.
No, you had the inside of the looking at it. From the outside looking in, not being
Definitely.
Did you actually design the graphics that went on there, or was it a picture they say, here, put this on the side of the truck?
Oh, no, I design it. Yeah. So I'll have to do the layout and everything, you know, the logos and the logos of our product that's in it and all that. So, yeah.
Very cool.
That's it. I always see them going down the road. A lot of times it's not tankers, it's the side of, you know, dry vans. And some of the graphics on, like Wegmans around here, you see them.
Oh, my word. Yeah, they've really gotten
graphic. I mean, there's like pictures of sushi and cooked food and everything. It's like, that's a little different than what you do because it's just photographs put up there. But then I've also seen like cartoons on the side of the truck. Right. And it's like, that's all graphic design. I find it amazing. Not only that it's on the side of a truck, but that it lasts through winters and
it is fascinating.
And everything like that. I always thought that was really neat.
Yeah, I agree. It is really cool.
Yeah, most of them are made with vinyl, and the vinyl really holds up. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. And I, you know, I've noticed on the show art, you know, here on our show, the change in it, you know, it looks really cool. I really do like it a lot.
Oh, are you the one that does all the thumbnails and stuff for the
Yeah, I started, I guess, 5 episodes now ago.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. A lot of them are pretty intricate artwork. I'm pretty impressed with them.
I know. That's why it's like, yeah, it's like a real step up. You know, it looks really cool. So I really appreciate it. Really do.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
So you used to, and now you had said you were in a band.
Yes.
A while ago, right? Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about your time on the road.
So it's very interesting because I was trying to think of driving stories. I have a lot of stories I think people would find entertaining, some that are very funny. Uh-huh. So yeah, the thing about living in a van with, you know, 4 other guys for, you know, month-long times and we're, you know, also hauling a trailer, you know, so we got those 18 passenger vans and they were hauling a trailer behind it with all of our equipment in it. It gets real stinky at times.
I bet it does.
We took out the back 2 bench seats and we put like a bed back there so, you know, we could sleep going down the road. I don't know how legal that is, but but we did it.
It's all relative.
Just take a couple of ratchet straps the person to the bed, and then you're safe.
Yeah. So one thing is very interesting is one night when we were driving, I swear we saw a UFO. It was crazy. We were driving and we're like, what is that light in front of us? And it, you know, I was like, oh, it's probably a plane, but there was no beacon lights, you know, the flashing lights on the side where the wings would be. And it just kind of stayed with us for at least 30 minutes. And it was just this light in the sky. It wasn't a star. I don't know what it is, but yeah, that was kind of freaky.
Yeah.
But mainly just, you know, the driving experience with a trailer is something that, I don't know how you guys do it. Cause it can be scary at times, like real scary, you know? You know, like if you like, I know I've heard that larger trailers are easier than smaller trailers. But I mean, I've had, you know, the thing, you know, start fishtailing and it's scary, man.
Management means it's not loaded properly.
Yep.
You know, that's
why you really, we're like in our 20s, you know, putting musical equipment there. So obviously we're not loading it correctly.
If it fits, it ships, right, Chip?
Yes, exactly.
So I was going to talk to you guys about something that I think is very interesting. So growing up, like, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, I was, you know, I guess 5-6 years old. But I remember the trucking industry was huge back then. Like, truckers were like the heroes, you know, like you would have like the Smokey and the Bandit show, you know, movies. Yep. There were songs. I remember my grandfather had an old 45. This song Teddy Bear. Do you remember that? It's like a classic, you know. I mean, gosh, I mean, I was just thinking about that, how, you know, the trucking industry, you know, were heroes. And now you just don't see that anymore, you know.
Not so much a lot anymore. Nobody cares.
Tell us we're number one.
A lot.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not true. During COVID, we were heroes for about 6 months.
Oh, well, yeah.
We were delivering toilet paper.
Yeah. Right. And then we were heroes.
Yes, we were real heroes then. But yeah, it's kind of, you know, lost the shine.
Shine went off.
The bloom is off the rose. You know, it's like, oh, well. You know, yeah, I know. We had it for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's one of those things that comes and goes in our society. You know, just people don't, you know, that's why we do this show, because we like to shine the light on the truck drivers in the industry itself. You know what I mean? Like, it really is kind of like the thing that I like about the show is that we actually talk to truck drivers and get to hear their story. You know, I was talking to Bob the Fueler this morning about that. I just feel like, you know, this is, you know, I think everybody, and I really do mean this, I think everybody has a story. You know, not just truck drivers. I think everybody has a story. It's not just, you know, if you're Indiana Jones that they have this cool life, but it's like everybody has a story, you know. And I think it's good to hear everybody's story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's.
I got a lot of stories and a lot of more for family friendly podcasting. What a dumb crap you see out
there. It's okay though.
Yeah.
That's all right. Pull the plug. We're good.
Right.
Let it fly.
But so as we're introducing you to the audience, and they'll get to see the, you know, the work that you do when they look at the graphic arts that you do for the show and everything else. Now, are you married and have kids or anything like that? Or
yes, I'm married. I have 3 kids. When my son had soccer this morning, and he also has another game at 2 PM today. So.
So you got a busy day.
Yeah, I got a busy day. The first game we won 3-0, which was awesome. Uh-huh. He's 11 and playing. He's playing competitive soccer, so it's really fun. And this is the first season that he's moved up to the full field. So the 11v11. So it's a big change. A lot of running. So I used to play soccer back in the day, and gosh. I never moved up. I played in middle school. I never really went beyond that, but gosh, it's a lot of running.
Yeah, thank goodness he's 11, you know. Get all that energy out now, you know. I mean, that's a good thing. That's good for him. I mean, you know, kid run around and getting all that energy out
and
having fun
soccer
at the same time. Yeah,
that's all they do is run back and forth
with the hope that they'll get the ball. You know, it's like, oh, maybe it'll come to me.
I mean, they got to be incredible cardio shape to do that. That is just true. Constant back and forth. I mean, I don't know about, you know, like little league soccer and stuff like that, but I watched a few professional soccers for what, an hour or so? They're just going back and forth. And like, there's really not much happening other than running back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you'll see a ball go into, you know, once or twice a game, you'll see a ball go into the net. And that's got to be incredible cardio.
It's got to be an incredible feeling when you kick the ball into the net. And, you know, it's not a truck driver thing.
No,
you know,
I get winded going to the back of the trailer.
we get winded just getting out to go, you know, squirt the dirt. You know?
I was like, oh, God, I got barn doors. I got to go all the way back there and open them up.
And then climb back in and back it in. What in the world? Shipper's got some. He's thinking.
All right. Here we go.
You know how I get screwed in between loads, you know, at Allentown or Harrisburg?
Yep.
Well, this was at Allentown. Right. So I backed my trailer in 21 door and I saw my trailer up like 17 door. Right. And I looked and it was a Ross trailer and it had swing doors and it was raining. I'm like, bitch. Oh, here comes a yard jog. I'm just sitting underneath my tractor, underneath the trailer. I'm already unhooked, just ready to pull out and go. Right. And the yard jockey comes flying over and backs into it. I'm gonna sit here a while.
Yeah.
Then he comes out, and I mean, it left. He got out of the truck, got halfway back, and I mean, it was whoosh. It deluged. I'm like, okay. He closes the doors. Back as he's backing in, I pull along. So you don't have to make it look pretty. I'm hooking up to that. Well, had I known that, I just
That's but why you didn't say anything. Yeah,
but I know that, and that's why I let you do it.
And I checked to make sure it's a through load, so I didn't have to open it at the other end. Just put it in the yard. Okie dokie.
Yeah. That's the secret to a truck driver's
I wasn't his friend that night.
No, no, you weren't. And of course, every day this week it rained practically. I think every day since Tuesday.
Well, yeah, we'll have a break now. And then the Allentown Fair starts, so it'll, it'll commence raining again. Yeah.
Yeah, Music Fest, you know, Music Fest up here, it rains every week. Yeah, every year for Music Fest.
Usually fall.
Oh, really?
Yep, yep. And it did this whole week. It's supposed to get sunny today. It's nice out today.
Today and tomorrow. The last 2 days will be nice.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, they'll get the 20 million people in 2 days.
every show that was supposed to go this week, every live show, every, you know, yeah, it's crazy.
Do you hear that concert? They started like 4:45 in
the afternoon. Old Dominion, and they ended a half hour later.
Yeah,
wow.
They sent an email out. It was like a couple hours earlier than what they were supposed to start. They sent an email out. And if you didn't show up, you're not getting your money back.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
If you were at work, you don't check your email. How do you know the show's starting at 4:30?
Right.
Or 4, whatever it was. They played for 45 minutes and then got off because of a few raindrops.
Well, it wasn't rain. They won't cancel it if it's rain. It was because of the threat of lightning. That was it.
There we go.
They don't do it for the lightning.
Did you guys ever do any stuff like that outside at all when you were?
Yes. We played a music festival called Cornerstone.
Uh-huh.
I think it's in Ohio, if I'm not mistaken. But that was
the great state of Ohio.
Yeah, years and years ago.
What'd you do, Chef? Stop hitting the table. Anyway, you were saying, Jason.
Yeah, but we were a heavy metal band, so yeah, it was really fun. We played all up and down the East Coast. So Atlanta, we played a music festival in Atlanta. It was a smaller music festival, but there was about maybe 15 bands that played it. So, yeah.
Did any of those ever wind up being like, how do you handle something like that? You know, outside and an outside venue when you get like inclement weather comes rolling through. I mean, how do they handle that?
Actually, I don't know. Cause I never experienced that.
Fair weather, man.
It's why you do these things in hot, warmer climates and the desert because it doesn't rain. Desert.
That's what the roadies are for. They come out and hold the umbrella over the guitar player.
Why do you think they go to Burning Man? You know, it's the desert. You know, Coachella. It's the desert. You know, so they don't have to worry about rain. I guess
that's true. Yeah. But playing in the band was really fun. It was a really learning experience. I was in a heavy metal band, and it was a Christian heavy metal band. So we would go and play these clubs where, you know, there were bars and stuff, and, you know, we may be the only Christian band there. We've experienced some crazy things. Like we'd get up and, you know, there would be people there that knew we were a Christian band, and they would like come up and like tear up Bibles in front of us and stuff. It was crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah, that's got to be a fun thing to go through. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's just, you got to approach it with love and not get angry, because, you know, once you get angry and you get, you know, you're starting to fight back, then they're like, oh, look at these good Christians. Look. Right. So, you know, you just got to kind of, you know, turn the other cheek. You know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. 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 It is crazy. It's amazing. But yeah, you know, you deal with it and you move on, you know, and it's life.
Yeah, definitely.
I always wonder about the bands that go to like these festivals and stuff, especially smaller bands, not like named acts and everything. Mm-hmm. Does it actually pay decent, or are you just doing it for the love?
You pretty much just do it for the love of it. I think they, from what I remember, we got food and maybe a little gas money. And that was pretty much it.
Enough gas money to get you the next gig.
yeah, pretty much. And then, but you know, the we made money off selling our merchandise. That's the main way you make money until you make a name for yourself. And the funny thing is that I don't know if you guys realize this, But whenever you sign a contract with a label, you still really don't get money. You still make your money off merchandise. Because what you do with that contract is, the contract is, yes, you know, we're going to put you on our label. You're going to get X amount of albums out of the deal. But this is the deal. You pay us back for these albums we're making for you. So you don't see any money until you pay back, you know, your contractual agreement, you know, of however much they've spent pressing the albums and all that. Yeah.
You make money off the touring, you know, the concerts. If you're a band, concerts, merch, you know, well, now nobody makes any money off of albums, really.
How does that actually work nowadays in the digital age?
They get a half a penny for a song that iTunes sells, you know,
or even,
if you're lucky, I guess it's half a penny. It's it's nothing. You don't make any money really off of streaming or anything like that. It's the shows. That's why Def Leppard and Poison, these bands that should be in retirement, are out touring right now because they're not making any money off
because nobody's
songs.
Buying albums anymore. Yeah.
You know, they might make a few shekels every year.
Yeah.
You know, but they have to go out. If they sell out an arena, you know, three bands now, usually three or four of them go out together.
Right.
You know, they go out and they sell out an arena and then they split the cost, and the record company isn't getting much of that money.
Wow.
It's just, they're making everything off the door.
No kidding.
Well, the promoter, I'm sure, is taking their fair share.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, everybody got, you know, take their little slice first. So.
The band's the last to get anything that's left over.
Well, definitely.
That's a big thing. And like comedians now, a lot of them aren't waiting for HBO or Netflix to give them a special. They're putting it out on YouTube.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
They're monetizing their YouTube channel. And that's all their money. No, but they don't have to pay a promoter or pay Netflix, or, you know, Netflix doesn't take a cut of it.
Right.
A lot of people are doing that on just monetizing YouTube, and they're making bank off of it, from what I hear in interviews and stuff.
I imagine.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just wondering how the band, like smaller bands, do it.
How because, they get it going. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you see them all loaded up in a van, and you know, you think of movies like the Blues Brothers, where they just show up one night and, here's your $200, but you drank $500 worth of beer, so you get nothing. So, you know?
Yeah. In fact, you owe us.
Let me write you a check.
That I mean, essentially, that's how it works. the one thing that I did, so the reason I'm not in the band anymore is because the band was like, quit your job or quit the band. And I was like, sorry, guys, I'm about to get married, so I guess I'm quitting the band. Which, they continued on for a little while, and they did get an album deal, and they did become semi-famous, I guess, in their genre. But yeah, so it's, where was I going with that? Oh yeah, the making money. So it's the main way that, you know, you make money is still like through YouTube and stuff like that. You'll put out your own videos and, you know, you'll get monetization from people watching the videos, and just producing yourself instead of having a record company do it. Now, you can make some money that way. Like if you spend your own money and press your CDs or whatever, or, you know, just go MP3 route, there's a bunch of audio services out there that will give 100% of the money back to the artist, and they may keep a fraction of it. But yeah, there's ways that people can produce themselves and make money nowadays.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the record companies aren't as, you know, crucial as it was back, you know, 10 years ago, because you can do it all yourself now.
Well, on that same vein, like things like this, like podcasts and everything, they're doing a lot of them. They aren't making big money, but they're just putting their podcast on Apple or Spotify or whatever.
Right.
And a lot of them are getting monetized. I'm assuming that's how this works too. The Hammer Lane Legends and
sort of,
you know, and well, anything the Merkle Media podcast.
Well,
somebody's making
money. We're talking, and, you know,
corporate office might be getting something. North Studios here.
Yeah.
Take notice, South not saying a word. Just a big smile.
It's all good. Yeah. You know,
We got hats last year. Shush.
Yeah. Yeah. We got hats last year.
And a really cool coffee mug, too, I saw on the
Who? Who did?
Well, I didn't get it, but I saw it on the page.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing about.
Thank you for saving me, Jason.
Podcasting. So I have a podcast also, and I've never made anything at all. I've tried and tried. It's so hard. I mean, you don't understand how hard it is to.
Oh, no, I do. I do.
Yeah.
It's a labor of love.
Yeah.
It literally is a labor of love.
It is.
If you don't enjoy it, and if you don't want to do it, if your heart's not in it, don't do it.
Because
not everybody gets monetized. Not I'm on my way. I'm saying, I'm checking out. Mike's my replacement.
Yeah, that's what I figure. He's got the electric car.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I know, right? There it is. Right away. But no, it's true.
I'll tow you back when you need it.
It's something that if you don't feel it, if you don't really want to do it, until you make any money, it's all about your passion to do it. Whether you want to do this, if you really want to do it, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it.
So that's the whole thing.
That's
the whole thing. Yeah.
I'm not going to say it.
Thank you.
I want to hear it.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Trust me, you don't. Go ahead, Jason.
So the podcast I started was because I wanted to talk to people and I wanted to do it, more of a hobby than as a business. And if I didn't make money, that's great. I would have liked to make some money, but that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But also the segment that we're in, we're doing kind of the whole like a supernatural thing. And I used to have I've actually got a different co-host now. But my original co-host, we had this dynamic where he was an unbeliever and I'm a believer, and we kind of, go back and forth, about stuff, and that was a really good dynamic. And then he couldn't do the show anymore because his wife just had a kid, so he stepped back and I replaced him. And it was still going good and stuff, but it's changed a lot now. So what did I miss something?
You said you replaced him. I figured I just look at Chip. Yeah.
I just saw the sideways eyes. Like, yeah, watch it, buddy.
Yeah.
I couldn't resist. It was just a funny in the moment thing, dude.
Yeah. So now it's kind of a different dynamic, and he's gone through some stuff. And since we do talk about the supernatural and everything, he's really feeling like it's not really something he wants to talk about anymore. So we're kind of going to reformat everything. And that's what I was saying. If you listen to our show and you tune in Monday, we're going to kind of talk about that, about the reformatting and what we're going from here. So, yeah.
Was it specifically like supernatural, as in ghosts,
like paranormal,
everything, all the paranormal stuff? Yeah. So, I don't know if you've listened to the confessionals of Tony's show, but, that's what got me all started. And I wanted to do, I didn't want to have people call in necessarily. I kind of wanted more of a discussion. That's why we called it AFK discussion. It's two guys talking about the supernatural, and then occasionally you may have someone come on and tell us their story or something, but yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's very cool. Yeah. I enjoy listening to Tony's. I mean, I've always been, to me, it's like, I've always been fascinated by the subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
And, I always like listening to Coast to Coast when I first started driving truck, and I listened to it for years until the kids showed me podcasting, and I was like, oh, well, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And it's when I don't even listen to the radio anymore. I just listen to my, podcasts or my iPhone.
If it wouldn't be for podcasting, I don't know if I'd be driving a truck anymore.
Right.
Because that is the only thing.
It's so different.
Well, you would drive down the road listening to nothing.
I finally turned a knob on radio.
He drives a truck and didn't listen to the radio until just literally recently. I'm like, how do you do that?
Like, I know. Rattle on a Mac.
Yeah. That's why I turned the radio on.
Wrist, so I don't have rattle to listen to the rattle.
I got to have something to make the voices in my head go away.
Exactly. I got to have something in my head to distract me from just getting irritated with everybody. It's like, if I'm in a happy spot, I'm good.
Yeah, I couldn't. I mean, I had a truck a couple weeks ago, because mine was at an all day long because now I'm driving during the day.
Right.
The radio did not work. The only thing I could get was AM station. Right. You know, an AM station is great, but it only goes for like 5 miles.
And, then, and you're out.
And I wrote it up and they said, no, this isn't even our truck. It's from another terminal. We're not doing it. I was like, this, no FM. I couldn't get my, it's an older.
So you couldn't program your phone through
I couldn't get the Bluetooth hooked up because I had no Bluetooth capable. I was like, oh my God, this is like what my grandfather used to do back in the day. Well, he had cassette decks.
Did it have an auxiliary port on it?
No. It was one of those old radios. It had AM, FM, and it had auxiliary, but I guess that was in the back of the radio to plug in.
Not helpful.
Like, no, not at all. I was like, I don't know how anybody just drives with nothing. That's why I listen to podcasts.
Well, thank God you didn't start driving in the 80s.
80s? No, I started way later than that. I didn't start.
So how old do you think he is?
Well, I started in 95 professionally driving.
There you go.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Your life.
I wish I could go back to 1978 when I was like 6, 7 years old and I saw Smokey and the Bandit and I said, that's what I want to do.
On an article.
Not what it,
you shouldn't have watched the movie. Yeah, I know.
On an article I read about that,
They
said when that movie came out, CB radio sales skyrocketed.
I bet.
And the Pontiac Trans Am went from like 40,000 a year to like 68,000 to 78,000 cars made per year.
Wow. After 1975, Pontiac was going to cancel the Firebird, which is the Trans Am, because the sales were
such the interesting part of the show, Jason. This is what
this is where that rail got bent and we all just flew off.
Yeah, I have another rail right here. I'm itching to go on, but I'm just holding out here. I have the article right here framed up, ready to go.
Wow. I'm surprised you actually have an article.
I did show prep while I'm sitting here. Yeah, Thank you very much.
Show prep. Not before. Prep indicates prep means prepared.
This
before.
Is what I'm doing while I'm doing it. If I just sit here with my hands folded up, it's not the same.
Brian's over there yapping to the new guy. We're just going to be on the phone here.
Yeah. what can I find? You know,
this is me.
Anyway.
It's the way I roll.
Sorry. So what got you interested in doing the paranormal stuff? What is the thing that drew you to that?
I actually had some experiences throughout my life. They were strange, I guess you could say. So I guess the main one was I used to have like, I guess it was in the 90s, maybe 93 through 95, this like nightly weird, like black orb thing would like float over my head in the middle of the night. I know it sounds very strange. Yeah, I woke up and I would see it, and at first it was really scary, and then it just kind of pissed me off, and I'm like, you know, getting mad at it because it wouldn't let me sleep, and that happened until I moved out of my parents' house. Wow. I have no idea what it is. Since have heard some other stories that are similar, but the one thing I was going to say earlier, you may know this, Brian, when you start shows like this and you start looking into it, then things start happening.
Right.
And
it's almost another reason. What you wish for.
Another reason why I kind of want to step back also. We've had some weird stuff happen in my house. Go ahead.
If I may, it's why I was glad Tony waited till he was married to do his podcast. Because nothing happened here. So we're good.
We've heard people walk up the stairs and no one's there.
Right.
Just super strange things. My wife has said that she felt like someone was walking on her bed at night. Such weird things that can't be explained that have happened. I have a Ring camera, and I have one inside the house in our hallway because my kids, when they come home from school, that, you know, my wife and I both work. So we have, you know, just to make sure they're not destroying anything, we have a Ring camera in our hallway. And we had it on, and there was like, I think it was a Godzilla toy my son had laying in the hallway, and it like moved by itself. You could see it on the video, just move.
Wow.
So I don't know.
That's why I don't want any of those Ring things. I don't want any cameras in the house because I sit down and I start watching the video. I'm moving.
Yeah.
I'm moving the cameras. I'm going. We're packing and we're going.
You know? Yeah.
Not me. We're not packing. We're just buying new shit.
I've watched those YouTube videos, and you know, people put up, yeah, they put the cameras in their house, and all of a sudden you see all the stuff that happens when you're not paying attention or when you're sleeping. And I was like, nah, that's why I work at night, sleep during the day, because everything that's scary happens at night.
Yeah.
I don't have any in my house, but I got the cameras outside the house. And when we first put them up there, I got an alert the next morning. I said, yeah, movement on your back camera. Well, the back is, you know, back of the house. There shouldn't be anything moving back there in the middle of the night. And I'm not proud to say it, but I kind of screamed a little when I saw it.
I screamed like a girl.
It was. I actually almost dropped my phone because I'm watching it and I'm like, there's nothing there. And then all of a sudden the spider crawls right over the lens. And I was watching it on my wife's iPad. So it was huge. And I was like, what? That was the most paranormal thing that happened to me. Now I just don't even look at the cameras unless something happened.
That's
now Mike can't recite Itsy Bitsy Spider would have flashbacks.
I was in a fetal position watching Spider-Man. I just couldn't do it.
Spidey senses is tingling.
Funny. You know, it's just a reality. You know, it's like that. And I just don't. I've watched enough YouTube videos.
Yeah,
I don't, you know what I mean.
Definitely, and I also have the outside cameras, and I've had the spider happen to me also, and raccoons. We'll catch raccoons all the time. So,
wow.
Yes,
the only thing that I had ever seen outside our house was I have these night vision goggle thingies, you know, and I literally put them. I took them outside.
It's just Shoesville,
and I had my flashlight, and I just shined it over. And there's like we have a church right next to us in the backyard. There's like trees and a little bit of woods and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I shine my big flashlight over there, and it's like there's little eyeballs everywhere, all over the whole churchyard. I was like, it was the creepiest thing because it was like a lot of them. It wasn't like, you know, a couple of raccoons or two or three deer. I mean, mm-hmm. There's like eyeballs everywhere, all over the.
They were stalking you.
They were. I came in the house. I said, Michelle, you got to come out and take a look at this. This is crazy, you know. So I'm trying, and then I got the binoculars out, and it was just a couple of deer and some raccoons. I was like, okay, we're good. You know, I don't want, just in case it's a Bigfoot or something back there, because dude, he's gonna come visit one of these days.
He is.
I don't care what anybody else says.
They're playing down in Bethlehem. Sasquatch
is down there.
Oh, that poor dude on a 95-degree day.
Oh, my word. Can you imagine that?
Speaking of Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was Brian, if it was you or your wife. I think it was your wife that Tony was talking to. So I was in his film, The Sasquatch and Missing Man. Uh-huh. I played the role of Wes Germer. I was, you know, in the reenactment. And so we were there filming, and there was this weird clicking sound coming from the woods.
Uh-huh.
And it was because he told the story after the fact, because he heard it first. And I think he was on the phone with you or your wife, and your wife was like, roll up the windows, lock the doors or whatever. Tony, you know, he gets out and goes look for it.
He's like, he just goes towards it.
Yeah.
Weird.
And then after we get done filming, we're all standing around, and it happens again. I still don't know what it is. It's the weirdest thing. It sounded like the, you know, the guys, the movie Predator, with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. He does that click that I can't make the sound that. Exactly like that. Exactly. And it was coming from the woods, and I have looked and looked and tried to figure out what that could possibly be, and I have no idea. I can't find anything that sounds like it.
Were you guys were you out in Washington when that?
No. This was in Tennessee. Yeah, this is local. Yeah, because we were just doing the shots of the reenactment of Wes's story. So yeah,
interesting story too.
I mean, it is. Yeah,
crazy.
That was very scary. And so Tony's like, you guys armed? And we're all like, yeah. He's like, okay, let's go. So we took off walking through the woods. There's like, I guess you would call it a Jeep trail, you know, is big enough for a Jeep or a four wheel drive to get down. Like, so we're walking down through there. And Josh, who runs Black Diamond Guns and Gear, he was behind us all, and he had an AR. And all of a sudden, like, a stick just comes flying through the forest. and just I can't explain it. I don't know what it was, but it was, I don't know.
Right.
And the place we're at is, the place we're at in
the first place.
The place we're at is, Tony likes to call it a magical place. It's definitely a weird, strange area. So,
right. Well, they call Disney World a magical place too.
I couldn't resist.
Just circle right back to that.
Oh man. You know, this is how we just go off the rail. This is just how, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you know, I'm glad because, you know, I didn't know how many stories I would have that, you know, involved, you know, driving and stuff, which, you know, like I said, I'm kind of adjacent. I'm not really – I don't really have anything to do with the truck industry. Actually, I do have a – yeah, I do drive a car. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Experiences. You know what I mean? You got driving experience. So.
Yeah, yeah. I do have a trucking story. So this is kind of a sad one. My great uncle, he was from Ohio. I don't know if he drove for the same people you drive for, cause that's, you know, that's in Ohio too, right?
Yeah.
Ohio. Yeah. So, he was out of, Dayton, Ohio. That's where he lived. But his name was Hollis. Hollis Wells, and he was driving one night and he had some equipment. I don't know what kind of equipment was on the back. Some sort of, I want to say it was like paving equipment or something he was taking for, you know, like it was some sort of job site equipment with wheels, you know, like someone could drive, I think. I don't know. But he went, like he said it felt loose or something. Well, I'm saying the secondhand. Sure. Because what happened? So he went to check on it, and I guess the straps were loose or something, and he was trying to adjust it. And anyways, it came off, and it rolled over him, and he passed away. Wow. So that's that's kind of a sad story, but
that really is. Holy cow! Was he married and have kids or anything?
He was married. He had his kids were older. He was my great uncle. So yeah.
Wow.
Wow. I think I was like 11 or 12 at the time. So
that is how crazy this industry can be. You know, I mean, things can just happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, it's the stuff you see, the crazy things that go on, you know, it's just one of those.
It only takes 1 second and not paying attention or just not look. You didn't. Oh, I didn't see that. And
yeah.
That could be the end of you.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, my word, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I don't see how you guys can tolerate some of the drivers. I mean, I have been, you know, like the big thing is my family and I, we like to do road trips. So we'll, you know, drive, you know, from here to Texas we just drove to Miami recently. And just, I'll see cars just like cut in front of, you know, semis. And I'm just like, what are you thinking?
Yeah,
those guys cannot stop as fast as you, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, it's bad enough they do it to other cars. I mean, I get irritated just driving to work and driving home in the morning. I'm sure everybody does, you know, because you know we're driving home in the morning. Now Mike works during the day. He's a regular daytime person now. Like, you know, he has a human being's life and is able to
it's
live.
Glorious.
It is. Really, it's kind of nice. He kind of has a glow about
himself. Except
for
the traffic issues. That ain't glorious.
It doesn't change for anybody. But you know, you're driving rush hour traffic and you're just like, if people, and I say this all in my own head, I'm like, if you would just leave your house 15 minutes earlier, you could avoid all of this rushing around and trying to be the first in line and trying to be the first one off the ramp and trying to, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
And learn how to merge.
And
that's
just
the
learn,
biggest thing
yeah.
on
and
the
signal.
Highway.
Yeah, can you just let me know you're getting on or
it's
getting off
a lot
signal.
Of work though it push is. That thing down and then if it doesn't auto cancel you gotta push it back up.
Well look it's that's crazy. Only another two or three more years and I'll be incorporated in the steering of the vehicle. I mean, you know, because we can't figure out how to put
two
fucking
or three
lights
years.
On in the winter time, you know,
two
when it's
years.
raining.
Dude, that's here now.
It is.
Well, then what's your problem? Get a newer car.
I'll tell them I have a newer car. It does it for me.
Does your turn signal come on as soon as you turn the wheel to the right?
Yes. Well, no. If I have it on autopilot, or no, not full self-driving, which I don't pay for, but that all it does, the car does all that for you.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Autonomous. I don't have that.
So you have a Tesla, I guess, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got them all.
Living that good life.
It is. I mean, according to a lot of guys I work with, you're freaking nuts for doing it. It's great for me, man. I'm loving it. I have 5,600 miles on it now. Bought it in February. Wow. I haven't even spent $190 to charge it.
To drive it.
Yeah, that whole time.
Wow.
So I'm doing, it's working out for me. It isn't like
it must be nice as long as you stay within the that Tesla charging stations.
Right. My Tesla charging station is at home.
I was going to say, is that your house?
Yeah, I come home, plug it in. Every morning, my car is ready to go.
Like 10 minutes from work, 15 minutes from work?
About 15.
Yeah, that's nice. That is,
thank
that's
God,
perfect.
I what you got. But even what you got, I mean, it's well within range of an EV, and it's, man, to drive all the way out, like, you must go through gas like crazy. Oh, your car is pretty efficient.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, which I'm really surprised. You
what is it, like 40 miles one way?
Yeah, 40 miles one, 45.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No wonder you had 370,000 on the last car.
On the last one, yeah. Exactly. It adds up quickly. But,
So the Teslas, I got to say, my friend has one. And gosh, for the money, you can't get something any faster. I mean, that if you want a fast car, you can get a Tesla. He has a Model 3, and it's just the regular Model 3. I think he has the extended range or whatever.
Long range. They're all-wheel drive. Yeah,
long range. And then he paid to upgrade to get the sport mode or whatever it is. No, right.
$2,000 or whatever, I think it was.
Gosh, that thing, though, I drove it, and I'm like, this is like Ferrari fast. I mean, it is insane.
I used to have a Corvette. I had a 2019, a C7 Corvette Grand Sport. They said the acceleration on that was 3.8 seconds, 0 to 60. I was never able to get that. I got 4 flat, was the quickest. I just ran out of tire. I didn't have enough grip to get that 3.8. But this Tesla, this is just a Model Y. This is the family hauler version of it. I got a quicker 0 to 6. It feels quicker than that Corvette did.
Yeah.
It's like the EV instant torque. All your horsepower, all your torque is available right away. Not like with a gas car, with that you got to wait for the turbo to spool up if you have one, or even that the fuel to get to the engine. It there's lag. There's just nothing with an EV. As soon as your foot touches that pedal, it goes. Now it falls off higher. You know, if you're in a drag race, and once you get up to about 80 miles an hour, then that acceleration curve, that torque curve, just falls off. You have no more torque. All you have is the electric motor still spinning.
Okay.
But in a short,
short burst,
traffic light to traffic light, right. You know, drag racing, I will embarrass everybody. You know, just coming out here, a guy in a 370Z, a Nissan 370Z, is a Nismo package. He thought he was hot crap. I wasn't having it.
You showed him.
So I just stomped on him. And he kept up with me, of course, but. Yeah, it's an SUV. It's a family hauler, and it's the quickest thing I've ever driven. However, I turn that off anyway, because the problem with all that quickness and acceleration, if you let it go, the tires wear out real quick.
Oh, I get you. I never thought about
the
that,
torque on that is just so I put it in chill mode, and my wife says, I drive like an old man.
That's all right. That's a good way to drive. As long as you're not driving like Shipper.
Oh God, no. I followed him home one of the podcasts I did here. I had my wife, she has an Audi TT, which is a little sports car.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, did I just hit triple digits and he's pulling away from me? I'm like, and he's got this big giant Ford Super Duty.
I got up to planing speed.
Yes, he did.
He's nuts.
I don't know how I was very impressed that big boat could go that fast.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I was like, I'm done. I'm just going to sit back here, set the cruise control.
You close your eyes when you ride with Shipper.
That's one thing with me. I'm like all safe about at work, but I get in my vehicle, get the hell out of my way, because I hit that ramp on 78 going east there. She should be about at 80 by the time I come off that ramp to shoot right on the interstate.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
That takes the turbo lag away. That's that point.
The fastest I've ever been in a car is 120 miles per hour. My friend has a Toyota Supra, and he converted it. It's a, I think it was a 90, five, six. Oh, like, it was the last of the Toyota Supra, the old side. They didn't make it for a while, and then they started back up recently. So it was the last body style with the big wing on the back and stuff.
Yeah, right.
The more sleek version. So he had that, and he converted it from a twin turbo to a single turbo, and it had, gosh, he still has it. I think it's got around 800-900 horsepower. I mean, it's crazy. And we were coming back from a car show in Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, Tennessee, you know, where the Smoky Mountains are.
Yep.
And there's just like 75 is just like a straight shot. And there was this Mustang that was trying to play with us. You know, he's like, you know, on the interstate and just, and my buddy's name's Cliff. He's like, watch this. And he just dropped it down and just, whoosh. I was like, I was like a rocket ship. And I just looked, and that Mustang was in the rear view mirror, just tiny. And I looked over, and we're doing like 120. I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. Okay.
That's fast enough for me. That's
yeah. I mean, that car, if you're just driving, you have to really be gentle. Cause I mean, if you give it any gas, it just breaks the wheels loose.
Well, that was before ABS and traction control and stability control that's on these new cars now.
Right.
It's very hard to get these newer cars. You know, combustion, electric, whatever. They have all these nannies on there that, you know, the stability control, traction control,
from doing anything. Yeah,
you can go out on the racetrack, and you know that's what a lot of these guys, they go out there and they think, oh, I can autocross anything because my Toyota GR Corolla kept me in the lane and everything. Well, now you go and you drive. You know, you get some money in your pocket, you go and buy an old 911. 911 isn't forgiving. You know that engine in the back. And you have no weight on those front, you'll go right off the track. You see it all the time.
Yeah.
These nannies really help. That's why if you go on YouTube and just type in Mustang fail, it is so many, because those, when they used to have the live axles in the back or the solid axle, man, they just didn't get any grip. They had all the power, but they had no tire underneath them. And leaving car shows and stuff, that was a big meme for a while. You know, Mustangs running into crowds or hitting curbs. And I've seen them get ripped their whole axle off because they spun around and just ripped the whole axle off the back because they hit a curb. Just trying to be cool.
Wow.
So you mentioned autocrossing. I used to autocross back in the day too. Yeah. I had a Volkswagen GTI and it was so much fun. Yeah. It was a 95, the VR6. It was such a fun car. And then after that, I got the, I got a 2000, I think it was a 2005, the first with the 2.0 turbo. When they redesigned the body, that one was awesome too. I love that. Yeah. I'm a huge Volkswagen guy. That's when you said the Audi TT. I was like, yeah, dude, I love me some Audis and Volkswagens.
my car before I got the Tesla was an Audi Q3, the latest generation.
Yeah.
Because I was really, that's basically just a, that was a, well, my wife's TT is basically a Volkswagen GTI. It's an all-wheel drive, so it's a Golf R.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way my Audi Q3 was too. And they're fantastic cars. But boy, when you got to replace a part, that stuff gets expensive.
It's a fantastic price.
Yes.
It's got to come from Germany.
Right.
You know, they got to ship it. So, you know.
They have enough in the country. Why can't you buy it from here?
Yeah, I have a Volkswagen Atlas right now, and I love it.
That's a good family caller.
Yeah. I've grown in Volkswagen. So, you know, I had my first car was an 82 Jetta. Mm-hmm. Then I got the GTI, then I got the 3.0 or the 2.0 turbo GTI. Then I got, I had a Tiguan, and then I had a Passat, and now I have an Atlas.
The Atlas you got should have that VR6 in it too, right?
It does. It does have the VR6.
That's a good motor. They stopped making a lot here, but that's a good motor.
It does. It's
Merkel over here. I had a Toyota. Now I got a Hyundai.
Yep.
Best. Well, you have a Miata.
Best. I did. Yeah. I did have a Miata for a while. That's right.
I remember that.
It was way before Shipper.
Yeah, I remember you used to drive that thing to work.
I did.
Oh, that's a girl car.
That's all right. It was fun to drive.
They were fun, but I don't know how you fit in it.
That wasn't easy.
You were a big boy. I drove one once. I went to test drive one, and my wife was like, because it's only two seaters. So
right.
I had the salesman had to go with me for the test drive. My wife was laughing when I came back. She goes, you look like you're in a toy car. Cause I was literally above the windshield. I'm like looking over. I'm like, well, this isn't going to work. Yeah. I could barely shift because it's a manual. My leg was up against the door trying to, I was like, I don't know how. I was like, well, this car ain't going to work for me.
That's good thing I'm short. You know?
Well, yeah, I wish I was shorter.
I fit all the way across. It was a fun car.
Yeah, Miatas are fantastic.
Yeah.
And the Toyota GR86s and the Subaru BRZs. Now, mm-hmm. They're fantastic, like little sports cars
right. That
compete, but they're not convertibles. But I guess the new Miatas have a little more room in them, from what I understand. But I haven't driven one in
I haven't either, and years. I wasn't going to pay for one. So, you know, for two of us, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is only two of us now.
That's the perfect time to have a little sports car.
Yeah, right now is the time. Yeah, exactly. But, you know. Best car I ever had was my Toyota, you know.
What kind of Toyota did you have?
Camry.
2001.
Manual transmission.
Manual, 5-speed manual. That's the fastest 55 miles an hour I ever did.
I got a good Toyota story for you guys.
373,854 miles out of that car. So that wasn't too bad.
Yeah, they last forever. Yeah. But I have a really funny story about Toyotas. So back in high school, one of my friends had a Toyota Corona. I don't know if you remember those. They were kind of a small, I guess, a compact car.
They were before the Corolla.
Yeah, they were smaller than the Corolla. So he had this thing, and gosh, it would do anything you wanted to do. We went off-roading in that car. It was nuts. And he was kind of a crazy guy, you know, just didn't have a lot of sense, you know, I don't know if it was a lot of sense or just, you know, he was just that crazy. But we would be driving sometimes. He's like, see this tree right here? And it's like, yeah. He goes, I wrecked in there one time. You're like, what? And he would veer and just ram into the tree with the car. I'm like, what? I mean, that car, I mean, he would beat it to crap and
wow.
He would just keep going. He would run into mailboxes. He would just go down the road, just plow through mailboxes. I mean, like literally like off-road trails for like four-wheel drives. He would take this little car and it would just eat it up.
No kidding.
That's why Honda got a foothold in the U.S. here because they were pretty fuel efficient and they were indestructible.
Yep, they last.
I mean, that's what the kids that I grew into high school with, a lot of them had old Honda Civics and Toyota, you know, old Toyota Camrys and stuff that were just beat to snot. And these kids didn't change the oil. You know, they didn't take care of them.
No, but they ran.
They ran. Yeah. You know, they mostly got rid of them because of the rust.
Yep.
Oh, didn't pass inspection. You can't drive in them.
Yeah. It is the downfall of every car that lasts for a long time.
It's going to the rust.
Rust in this area up here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the road salt in the wintertime and the humidity in the summer. It's going to die.
Yeah,
because it's going to rust out.
It's gotten better though. You see cars that are holding on a lot. Whatever they're putting under that undercarriage is now probably that true coat they're putting on the undercarriage.
Right,
and they're not rusting like they
that
used
is true.
To. I mean,
that
my my grandfather had a Scout. You remember the Scout?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Which is coming back, by the way, as an EV.
No kidding.
I saw that.
I did not know that.
Volkswagen owns the name.
Yeah.
Get out. So,
yeah. They got the Scout name when International Harvester
really cool.
got sold to Navistar, and then they acquired Navistar. So yeah, they're bringing back the Scout. It's gonna be an all EV brand.
But very cool.
My grandfather bought the last year of the Scout in 1980.
Wow.
And within a year, rust hole. I mean, like, not just a little bubble that you could put your finger through. A year. You know, and they patched it up, and eventually they just got tired of patching it. They started using foam insulation and spraying it in there, sanding it down, taking a can of spray paint until the frame got a hold of the rust, got a hold of the frame, and then that was it.
Then you're done.
Yeah, the best kind of patch job for, you know, the Scouts and that stuff always used to be street signs. You know, 35 mile an hour speed limit.
Pop riveted.
Because you pop riveted right down. But it ain't rusting there anymore. That's galvanized.
That's what they used to do to pass inspection.
Yep.
Gosh, I mean, that's another good thing about living in Tennessee. We don't have inspections. So
you don't have a state inspection down there.
No, not at all.
That would be glorious. It's such a pain in the butt.
I've seen some people that that they need that.
Well,
they
need the
reminder.
Yeah.
You know? They come in, the freaking rotors are worn all the way down.
Yeah.
I'm just here for tires, nothing else.
We're going to have to replace your rotors. Or are they that bad? Well, they're not there.
Exactly. I mean, if you want a tuna car, you know, Tennessee's the best. You know, you can just run straight pipes right off the header. They're not going to look for
catalytic converters or anything. Yeah.
It's amazing. That is amazing.
I have to get Tennessee plates when my truck's starting to rot away. Well, on a quiet night, you can hear it rust.
Rusting. Yeah, it's a Ford.
It's a Ford. Yeah, I was just going to say.
Yeah.
I want to get a truck really bad. So
I have a Ford Ranger.
That's my next thing.
A Ford 93.
Hasn't moved in 10 years, but it's.
Haven't moved in a little while. It's been a while.
I thought you're from Tennessee. I thought it was mandatory to have a truck.
It is, but you know,
a big one.
I have an SUV, like I said before. I'm truck adjacent. I have an SUV. But yeah, I really, gosh, the Ford, the F-150. I can't think of the name of it. Not the base model, but it's the one up from the base model. I can't remember what it's called, has
a Lariat.
No, yeah, it's not STX.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's the model, this the 2024 model year. But it has so much stuff on it. It has the digital gauge cluster and all that.
I think that's on all of them now.
Is it on everyone? Yeah.
Yeah, even the base ones are coming.
Yeah, this thing is awesome though, because you can get the 5 liter in it. And that's what I would get, you know. Everyone's like the turbo six is great, but man, I want a 5 liter if I get a truck, you know.
Ford is the last one in their 1500 series, you know, their half ton pickup trucks that still has a V8. Nobody else has it.
Wow,
it's still a 302.
It's the 5 liter Coyote V8 they put in the Mustang. You know, they've been putting that in the Fords, but that Ford is the last one that offers a V8 in a heavy duty truck. Still, you can get them, but in their 1500s, everybody else is going to 6 cylinders or. The Chevy had their base engine is a 2.7 liter four banger.
Wow. Yeah.
But I mean, that four cylinder puts out 300 horsepower.
Yeah, that's crazy. My brother-in-law has one, the four cylinder. He's like, look at the motor. And he popped the hood, and I was like, oh my gosh, it looks tiny in there. You know, like, there's room around
outside. You can stand in the engine bay to change the oil.
Yeah.
Like it used to be. How things used to be. I used to watch my brother-in-law work on my dad's car. And that's back. He had like a 1977 Chevy Malibu, and it was huge, huge front end. It was all, you know, all front end. And you open up the hood, and you can see the dirt. You can see the ground underneath you. It's like, oh, yeah, you could sit on the front on the radiator and work on them. Now you can't even see underneath it.
My grandmother or great grandmother had a 72 Buick LeSabre. My grandfather and my uncle were both standing in the engine bay. Because they had the distributor on the back of that engine for some reason. So they were both in the engine bay. I think one of them was sitting up on the fender, but they were both in there working on it.
Yeah.
And this had a big, it was a 350. It wasn't a big block, but it's a big engine sitting in there. Still plenty of room. I mean, there must have been 2 feet between the radiator and the fan.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
Gigantic, those cars.
Now you look at, you open
down
up
anymore,
the, you can't
like
even
you
see.
Get your hand down.
Yeah. You're like, how do you do anything?
It's a plastic, like on my wife's car, she's got that Audi. It's a little 2.0 four cylinder, and it's just a plastic cover. You barely see an engine. You could see the turbo sitting in the back there, but you don't see a whole lot of mechanical anything in there. It's just a plastic cover.
It's like Volkswagen when you bring it in for any kind of service. Please, what does it say? Please move front bumper into in-service mode where the freaking whole bumper comes forward. Yeah, everything shifts forward that you can do servicing up front, and then you flip it back.
A lot of these cars you have to remove just to replace a turn signal or a headlamp on the front. You got to take the whole front bumper off the damn thing.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing LEDs now. They don't have to change them as much.
Yeah. You know,
they last pretty much the life. They're supposed to last the life of the car.
Right.
So
if they don't, you just get rid of the car and get a new one.
That's right.
It would cost you a fortune to change
it. What one of our dispatchers used to. Remember when Hickman, he got a flat tire, went to the dealership, bought a new truck?
There you go. You know, that's what you do. I got
four new tires and a truck free. Universal.
It's an adjective, all right. Anyway, Jason, thanks for coming on and spending some time with us.
It was nice meeting you.
Yeah, it was. It was good to meet you. It was really
Nice to meet you guys too.
Face to face, and we'll be talking. You know,
you'll be talking to him. I won't.
Yeah,
I'll be. I don't have his number.
Yeah. Come on.
There's a reason for that. You don't want him to have your number.
Don't get him the number.
Yeah. Nope.
They don't give me the numbers to HQ.
No.
They won't even give me the address to HQ where I drive down.
As far as he knows, HQ is in Alaska.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's only 45 hours away.
Safer that way.
Not the way you drive.
I was accounting for snow in Canada.
Anyway. Thank you so much, Jason. You take care of yourself. It was great to meet you. And we hope
looking forward to working with you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, what he said.
This might be my last podcast.
I may be just doing this by myself soon. You know what I mean? Oh, man.
You know, that's just the way it is. We have to cut back here.
We hope.
Corporate cutback. Somebody's getting laid off.
And we enjoyed this show, and we hope everybody else enjoyed this show, too. And if they enjoyed the show, Shipper, what can they do?
They can share the show. Share it with a Democrat or a Republican. And yes, an independent for and all independent, that matter. Yep. Just don't forget to get out and vote. Vote often.
Vote early, vote often. Right, yes. I know. Like the old Democrat line. Vote early, vote often.
If you
often.
Know somebody that passed away, vote for them.
I've already filled out 50 ballots myself.
There you go. We're well underway.
But anyway.
Everybody, keep the hammer down.
And the hammer laid. Good night.
Good night.